Starting the year strong is easier and more delicious with Omaha Steaks premium prepackaged proteins. From handcrafted USDA certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken and pork, and so much more. Omaha Steaks has unmatched variety and high quality proteins that everyone loves. And right now, you can taste the difference and get an extra $35 off at omahasteaks.com with promo code AUDIO at checkout. Stay satisfied, get energy, and fuel your routine with premium prepackaged proteins from Omaha Steaks. Every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland, with every bite backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Love Samantha Lee, the More Than Just Pretty podcast. I'm your host, Samantha Lee, and here we explore love, life, spirituality, and relationships through the lens of real beauty, the kind that begins the moment you decide to be unapologetically yourself. Join us as we dive into heartfelt discussions that challenge us, inspire us, and connect us. Are you ready to embrace your true self? Let's begin. What's up, family? I hope you guys are doing well. This one is going to be one of my more, I don't know if this is going to be a long one. I don't know. I just truly pray that God uses me on this one. It gives me the strength to do it, to give me the words to speak and the ability to really deliver this message the right way. For those of you guys who do not know, I'm going to be transparent here, 100% transparency. I think you've seen or heard on either lives I've done or podcasts I've recorded, a puppy that I've fallen in love with. And unfortunately, her life was cut short this Monday. Not because of like a car situation or anything like that, but I'm gonna tell a story, but essentially she started showing signs of sickness on Sunday night. I stayed up with her, hoping that it would break Monday morning. The morning started out fine, and then around 7 a.m. she experienced, or I saw her experiencing a seizure. I took her to the doctor right at 7:30, dropped her off, noticed her energy was very low, very, very low. And dropped her off in the office as I was explaining what happened or what I had witnessed. She started having another seizure. I didn't know that would be the last time I would see Sparkle alive. And I know some people, they're like, it's a dog. Like, it's not that deep. It's not that serious. I think you say that until you get a dog and you realize how quickly they just become part of who you are. And I'm not even saying, to be honest with y'all, I'm not even saying that she was easy to have, because she wasn't. You know, there was challenges that you have with puppies, with training, with just having patience. There's a thing called post-puppy blues, and I was experiencing that, just, you know, really feeling the weight of caring for her and waking up and you know, I was waking up early for her, going to sleep late for her. Like, you know, it was very much like having a child, very much so. A little less, obviously I have had a baby, a little less intense, right? But definitely still challenging. And I wasn't necessarily expecting the challenge that came. There were times where I lost my cool, y'all. I lost my cool. I had to get out, walk around. There were times where I was like, I got so upset with certain things, and I would turn around and apologize to the puppy because I was like, man, I, you know, I shouldn't have been that mad about that. And I apologize. Like, I learned a lot about myself in these last 3 months, because it's been 3 months, almost 3 months that I've had the puppy. And I had, at this point in time, once I realized that there was something that was going on with me, if you guys have had a puppy or haven't, when you first get a puppy, like I said, there's a thing called post-puppy blues, which is the same thing as post-baby blues. It's, you know, the loss of freedom, you know, there's, you know, lack of sleep. There's a lot that comes with having a puppy. Okay, people don't talk about this enough, but there's a lot that comes with it. And I had asked a friend of mine to take her for this coming weekend, because I said, let me get a break. Maybe that will help me with my rest and sleep and things like that. And she was agreeable to having her, and we were making plans. And yeah. Well, on Sunday specifically, I mean, there's a point to the story also. Hear me out. Sunday specifically, I went to my mom's house. I normally do. I spend Sundays with my family. And I decided not to bring Sparkle with me, because I felt like it was rainy and cold here in Atlanta. And the weather's just been on and off. You have days where it's 72, and then there's days where it's literally 42 or 30, 38. It's just no in between. And so I decided to keep her home, because she, when it's cold outside, you know, all she do is sit there, look at me and shake and not go to the restroom. I didn't want to take her and have to be outside in the cold and the rain while she looking at me shaking. And then I bring her inside and she uses the restroom in my parents' house. That's just how I looked at it. So I kept her home. Then I came home and, you know, kind of shared with you already how that night played out. It was fine. And then it was, I say all that to say that if I would have known now that I would only have this amount of time with this puppy, there's a lot of things I would have done differently. There's a lot of things I would have been a little less impatient about. There's a lot of things I wouldn't have just let her do. There are things I wish I could take back. I'm a perfectionist. Having a puppy definitely highlighted that. I'm a clean freak. I am very, like, you know, some of you guys know from my platform, I'm extremely disciplined. I'm very structured. You pretty much, if you know me, you know what I'm doing every day of the week at the time that I'm doing it. You can call me at 9:30. Like, you could ask some of you guys, know if you know my lives, you know, Pam. Yes, Pam, what my days are like. Because I do the same thing every day. I am very structured, very disciplined. I'm not really impulsive. I don't really go left or go right. I'm very like, bop, 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 bop. That's just me. And having a puppy kind of confronted the tendencies that I had. Because not everything is going to look the same. Not every day or week is going to be the same. Might be struggles in one day that don't happen the next day. It's like having a child, truly, because it's not predictable. It's unpredictable until they get to a certain age. And I look back on the time that I shared with her, and as you guys probably know, I got incredibly close to her, and she got very close to me. And even in her last day, there was a part of her that was seeking for me to help her from whatever she was experiencing internally. So I know she knew that I loved her. And I know she knew that I would do anything to take her away from pain. The seizure that she had, it never stopped. They couldn't stop it with any medication that they gave her. And ultimately, the seizures took her life. I'm better today than I was on Monday. But I still have moments when I look at the space that she used to take in my home. I have moments when I think about my routine and now I can just go to bed at night or I can just wake up in the morning. I don't have to take a puppy out. But now I kind of wish I could. The things I complained about or that I felt like were hard suddenly don't seem so hard anymore. I just feel like overall this month has been a very challenging month. There's been things like this random sty that family, I don't know what, it just has decided like we are going to be here for all of December. And it literally has been here since Thanksgiving. Like before Thanksgiving, this sty was there and it is still there to this very millisecond as I'm recording this, which means we going on a month of having this sty. It's smaller now. It's not as embarrassing looking as it once was, but you know, I go to a doctor again tomorrow, but that's besides the point. Hopefully they can lance this thing and we can be done with it. But anyway, I digress. There's been things that happened just in my personal life and things, you know, epiphanies that I have. There's things that God has called me every, this month has been a real recurring theme in my spirit of sacrificing Isaac. And I, specifically the night that Sparkle passed, or the night before Sparkle passed, I surrendered some Isaacs. And if you guys know the story of Abraham and Isaac, is that Abraham was praying for a son most of his life. And it wasn't until the very end of his life, his wife, Sarah, could get pregnant. And she got pregnant and they named their son Isaac. Well, when Isaac was about 13 years old, Abraham was called to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham is obedient to God, even though it's a very confusing situation because it's like you just gave me the son and now you asking me to give him up. And it's to be metaphorical to what God eventually does with his own son is that he sacrifices his own son for the good of humanity, for our ability to have a connection with him beyond the fact that we don't deserve it, beyond the fact that we did not and have no way of earning it. And there are times in our journey where God is calling us to sacrifice Isaacs. And so the night before that resonates with me and I think about even today is that I was sacrificing Isaacs. I was like, okay, God, I let it go. I let this go. And I erased it off this prayer board that I had on my wall, just ideas that I thought, things that I thought were going to happen. Things are putting weight in. And I'm just like, God, I surrender it. This is the Isaac. I'm putting it on the altar. Like if it doesn't happen, it's fine. If it does happen, great. But I'm sacrificing Isaac. And the night that I decide to sacrifice some Isaacs for real this time, about 12 hours later, my puppy is no longer with me. And I don't really know what that means. I know in the story of Abraham and Isaac was supposed to be sacrificed and Isaac doesn't end up getting sacrificed. They end up sacrificing a ram that's nearby. That resonated with me when I thought about it because I was like, I was sacrificing Isaac and now my puppy's no longer with me. And God took her home. I don't know if Sparkle was specifically on a mission. Angel in dog form that came here to challenge me for a season of my life, quite literally a season. She exposed parts of my life that I needed to change. Tendencies that I had that were unhealthy. She also taught me a valuable lesson about life that I hope to communicate well to you today. Time is not of the essence. I think some of us live like we are going to live forever, and that's not true. I never thought that when I dropped off Sparkle to the doctor that morning that no thought ever came across my mind that I wasn't going to pick her up that day. that instead I would be going to an office to say my goodbyes to her lifeless body. No part of me thought that that would be what my Monday would look like. Some people can look at that and some of the things I've experienced this month that I can't explain, just disappointments and random things that happen that I just don't understand. But now I look at it differently, family. And that's part of the reason why I wrote this from a hard place, because this is a hard place for me. I look at it like a Job season, where the enemy took things from Job. And the point of him taking all that he took was not the stuff or the people or the land or any of the things that he actually took. The point was to take his allegiance from God. That was the point of why he did what he did. And so I say to you here that my allegiance is going nowhere. God knows that I'm here. I'm going through things, but I'm faithful. I don't care what the enemy takes. And even though this didn't make sense, still doesn't make sense to me, but I'm trying to find the God in it. I'm trying to find where I can latch on and see, okay, you know what, God, you're doing something, that there's a purpose to this pain, that you know better than I do. You know things I don't. You see things I didn't. I can't make sense of this, but I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to trust you. And some of y'all, there are things and people, situations, pets, there are things that you prayed for. And on the other side of you praying for it and it didn't happen, because y'all, I tell you right now, there was not a prayer that went to God on Monday that didn't say, I wanted my puppy to live. She didn't deserve to die. But even though God didn't do what I asked him to do, I'm still faithful to him, not his yes or his no. I am faithful to him. I'm faithful to what he has called me to. And I'm going to stay saying, God, you are good. God, you have a plan. God, you are sovereign. God, you know things that I didn't, that this must be for my good. And even though I don't see it right now, and even though it doesn't feel like it, I know that you are still a good father, and that she is in a better place than where she was at in her body on this planet. So in this time of me trying to heal from this, all I've really done is try to worship. I've tried to, you know, really try to find the God in it. Really trying to say, okay, well, you know, you said you needed a break. Of course, it's not the break you wanted, but this is the break you got. And because I wasn't getting a lot of sleep, and because of certain things, I was a little bit more on edge. I was struggling with a little bit of depression, because you're not sleeping as much when you have a puppy that's, you know, young and is developing. And, you know, you were getting, you know, having issues, you know, going outside, getting sick, you know, you get in the cold, you're in different temperatures. And there was a lot that was going on with me. And I'm like, okay, God, maybe you're, you know, that's good. You know, I can rest more and I can take this time to really get myself together and really focus on certain things with my daughter versus the time being split because I had a puppy. So I'm intentionally trying to find the God in it, and I'm worshiping. And I'm just really in this time of grieving, just being intentional about, yes, I'm sad. Yes, I'm hurt, but I know God is good. And I know that he has a plan. And I know that he is sovereign. And I know that she's in a better place with him than she could ever be with me. And so I'm saying from a hard place to anybody that might be dealing with deaths in their season, and it might not be a physical person, but might be the death of what was a dream. It might be the death of a job. It might be the death of of a person or the anniversary of a death of an individual, or the holidays can be a really tough time for individuals just in general. I'm just saying to anybody that's listening to me that the enemy is specifically trying to take us into places of depression and sadness. He wants to take us out, and he's done everything in his power to take me out and take my voice. But I'm here on this podcast to let you know from a hard place, God is still good. From a hard place, God wants you to intentionally try to find him in this season, that I know that it doesn't feel like God is in it. And I know that it doesn't feel like God is being fair. And I know that it's hard to see him when he's saying no to something and it breaks your heart on the inside. I'm telling you that this Monday, when I got that call and when I sat in that room, my heart was broken in places I didn't know existed. It was shattered. It was like someone took a hammer to my heart and just smashed it. Holding my puppy that was full of life and full of love. Just doesn't seem fair. But as my mind wants to drift into that negative stream of thought, I'm intentionally, as I'm on this live, fighting for my faith, fighting to trust God, fighting to speak words. God is good. God is working all things for my good, that God knows things that I don't know, that his ways are higher than mine, that his ways are mysterious, but I know that he does exceedingly abundantly before that we could ever ask, think, or imagine. I know that he has a plan that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, and minds can't even imagine. I know he has a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. I know that God is good. I know that he is. And I know that these seasons can be very challenging. And I'm saying that from a place because the season it's been challenging for me as well. But I'm here to tell you from a hard place, God is still good. That God is sovereign. That the enemy in this time is doing everything to steal, kill, and destroy. But God came, Jesus came, so that we have hope. To give us a sword of peace. No, to give us a sword of the Spirit, excuse me. He did not come to give us peace, but to give us a spirit that would provide us peace in the midst of a storm. Doesn't stop the storms from coming, but gives us the ability to have peace within them. I know, like, people like to go on podcasts and they like to talk and they're from a very good place and they're, you know, living their best life and everything is amazing. I said, no, today I'm going to keep it real. And if I get emotional, it is what it is. It was hard for me to put on this microphone today and to talk to you guys. I didn't know what I was going to say. Or how I was going to say it, but I was going to be honest. I was going to speak from my spirit. And I wasn't going to act like everything's all right and hunky-dory and we good and we skipping through daffodils and rainbows and eating ice cream on the way back. Like, no, I'm not going to do that to y'all. I'm not going to give you the little warm and fuzzy, oh, God is good and God is good all the time. Yes, I'm all right. I can't complain. God is, no, I'm going to give you, it feels terrible. Devastating. I don't understand it, but I'm trusting God through it. Doesn't make sense to me right now. I don't see God in this, but I know that God is an awesome God. I know that he has a purpose and a plan that I don't understand. It's above me. There's a phrase that was really popular a couple years ago when a documentary came out, said it's above us now. And it's above me now. There's that air I can't breathe because it's not my air to breathe. There's a Bible verse that says, I do not know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And family, the only thing I know to do in this moment, to be honest with you guys and to be faithful to the God that created me and created this platform, that even though I'm experiencing pain and heartbreak, and I've sacrificed Isaac's, I feel like I've done what God has called me to do. And even though I'm being obedient, I feel like I'm losing Sparkle felt like punishment. Not regular punishment, but extreme, otherworldly, sadistic form of punishment. Feels cruel. But I know that God has purpose in my pain. And that God is going to get me through this. Just like he's going to get you through it. From this hard place, I want to encourage other people that are in a hard place. The enemy specifically wants to take your allegiance. That's the point of the pain. That's the point of the tests that are being allowed. And the tests feel cruel. And the tests are hard. But I'm here to tell you that there's a reward on the other side. Job got double for his trouble. There was no test that anybody was put through in the Bible that didn't come with a great reward. The Bible says, do not get weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. We cannot control the deck that was given to us, but we can control how we play it. And it's crazy because, guys, on Saturday I was giving Sparkle a bath. And randomly, Stephen Furtick started playing on my phone and says, when the battle chooses you. I remember when it came up, I'm like, what battle? I mean, it must be these other battles that I'm dealing with. And I thought it was an interesting thing that would pop up because one of my favorite sermons by him. And usually during a very challenging season, it pops up. I look back now and I know that God was preparing me for a battle that was going to choose me. And he speaks in that specific sermon about the story of King Jehoshaphat, who woke up and there were three different countries that had banded together, three different very challenging circumstances coming together that he did not foresee, that he could not foretell, and he was not prepared for. And he felt like, okay, God, your people have specifically obeyed you, which is why these countries still have a leg to stand on. But yet here they are, banding together to attack me randomly on this Wednesday. For me, it was on this Monday. And he fasts and he prays and he says this long, beautiful prayer in 2 Chronicles 20, but it ends with, I do not know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Somebody in the crowd said, God says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will deliver you from this battle. You will not have to fight. And they won that battle. They didn't have to fight. They lost not one thing. Job and his story, when God did come back and confronted him about some things that he was asking him or questioning him about in a hard place, Job forgave his friends for having an alternative perspective and not checking with God about the perspective that they were sharing. He forgives them and he gets double for his trouble. Family, the pain you are experiencing in this season, stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to his plan. Stay faithful. Trust him. I know it doesn't look like it. Trust him. I know it looks bleak. Trust him. There is ways that he answered prayer that we cannot conceive. We do not understand. He's a miracle worker. He's a game changer. He's a mountain mover. That's what he does. And there might be things that you're specifically praying for. And you're like, okay, God, this is the opposite of what I prayed for. And God's like, listen, I just need for you to trust me. I just need for you to be faithful. I just need for you to believe in me that while you're being tested, because I want to see that when I give you what I'm giving you, what I'm entrusting you with in your hands on the other side of the season, that you're going to stay faithful to me, that these things have to happen because I'm doing something within you. I'm training up something within you, a spirit of a spiritual giant within you, so that when the the front side of the blessing comes, that you can handle that backside, that I know you'll stay faithful, that I know you'll come to the cross, that you won't just lose your mind and lose your faith and lose your spirituality, that when I bless you in the ways that I intend to bless you and I propel you to the heights that you're supposed to go, that you have specifically gone through challenging circumstances so that you can become the person that God has specifically chosen you and created you and are trying to define you to become, so that the next season of your life, the next challenge that you face, you will be the person that can handle that, not just the front side, but the backside of the blessing. That God is specifically orchestrating challenging circumstances, unexplainable circumstances that will specifically speak to a next season of your life, that this hard place that you're in is only a training ground for what God is about to do in your next season. He is trying to, in James, it says that he allows trials and tribulations to happen so that there is a patience and a patient endurance that is created, so that that patient endurance creates a perfection in our faith, so that while things don't look like God, we still believe in them. That even though things don't feel like God, we still trust in them. That even though things don't make sense to us, we're still grounded in the faith, that we don't allow life and life-lifing to stop us from trusting in the Creator that we are convinced or should be convinced that is going to show up, that the Red Sea is going to part, that there are things that are going to happen, that the miracles are going to come, and that you will specifically be able to listen to and hear for the voice of God, that even though life doesn't look like it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, that you trust unwavering faith, that even though I don't see what I want to see, and even though I'm not experiencing what I want to experience, and even though life doesn't look like how I thought it would, I think about now, like, God, why would you have me buy this puppy for you to know that you're going to take her less than 3 months later? Why? And then another part of my spirit had to say, you've got a plan. You're sovereign. You're good. And I trust you. And I know that with all that's occurring, there's breakthrough, major breakthrough on the other side. There must be something you're preparing me for. This must be something huge, something miraculous, something that I wouldn't even see myself in. I know you must be doing something unexplainable in my next season, if you're allowing me to go through this. And this is my training ground. If this is my training ground, then there must be something crazy on the other side. T.D. Jakes says this, and I'm going to end it with that. He says that it's not about the opportunities that come to know if God has trust you or has faith or how much you've been chosen or whatever, the indication of how much God has chosen you or the level of calling on your life is not based upon the opportunities that come to you. It's about the amount of pain and suffering and trials that he allows you to endure. That truly the indication of how God feels about you is the amount of pain that he allows you to experience, and he trusts you to deal with it and handle it accordingly. That he trusts you with and in pain. That even from a hard place, he can still trust you. Even when your heart is broken, he can still trust you to have faith in him, to not walk away like other people do when things get hard. That he can trust you. He can trust you. Can God trust you in and from a hard place? Can he? Thank you for spending your time with us on Love, Samantha Lee, the More Than Just Pretty podcast. It's been a privilege to share the space with you where we celebrate being unapologetically ourselves. I hope today's episode has encouraged you to embrace your own unique beauty and the beauty in others. Don't forget to follow us and join our community on social media. Share your journey and your insights, and let's continue this conversation. Until next time, remember, real beauty starts with you being true to yourself. I love you, family, and I will talk to you soon.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown in the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and Game System. You to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.